Your speaker for this lesson is G.K. Wallace.
If you have your New Testament and we'll open it to the book of Acts, Division 1, we shall begin reading with the first verse of that chapter and call your attention to a few verses. And this evening we want to see what Jesus said about the kingdom, and I think that certainly he understood the prophets. If the Lord Jesus Christ were here on earth and were standing right where I stand, and if he were to ask him about the kingdom, he'd tell you what I'm about to read. So you couldn't have any misunderstanding about that. We hear a lot today about the restoration of Israel into the land of Palestine. We hear a lot about Zionism. Now, Zionism is a form of the old Orthodox Judaism, which they wanted to perpetuate. We hear about Israel going back to Palestine as if those prophecies had never been fulfilled. Now, it is true that Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, and Zechariah talk about the return of the Jews to the land of Palestine and the rebuilding of the temple. There isn't any question about that. But you will remember that when Isaiah talked about that, he also talked about the establishment of a kingdom that's universal and not local and not racial. And so did Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. They all talked about a kingdom over and beyond the restoration of Israel. Jeremiah was the prophet, the weeping prophet, that talked about Israel in her declining days. Daniel was a prophet of the captivity. And when you see these prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Zechariah talking about the return of Israel to the land of Palestine, you but need to turn to the book of God and pick up the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezra and Nehemiah were historians, divine historians. They all wrote long time after Daniel, Ezekiel, and Jeremiah were dead. Their books were sealed. And this divine historian tells us that those prophecies were fulfilled, that they went back to Palestine, that they were restored, that they rebuilt the temple. Now, we don't have any problem with that. And I repeat, when you hear so-called prophetic preaching about the Jews going back to Palestine, you hear men reading passages that have been fulfilled as much so as was the prophecy concerning the virgin birth. Now, that isn't hard, is it? Just remember that Ezra and Nehemiah, and Nehemiah is right at the close of the Old Testament. He's a divine historian, and he tells us the fulfillment of those prophecies. Now, when Jesus came into the world, the Jews were in the land of Palestine. He often went up into the temple. They had the temple. It had been rebuilt. You remember how he cleansed the temple, how he taught in the temple, how that he went up every year to begin even to teach when he was just a lad of 12 in the temple. They had their temple. They had been brought back from captivity. Now Jesus appears upon the scene and he begins to talk about the kingdom of God. What did he say about it? Do you remember anything when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? About him saying that the temple would be rebuilt. Do you remember where Jesus ever said anything about the Jews coming back and living in the land of Palestine? You know where he said anything like that? Don't you think he understood the prophets? Don't you think that he knew what the prophets taught? Being the Son of God who came into the world to fulfill the great purpose of God. The fact of it is, in the Ephesian letter, Paul talks about the kingdom or the church as God's eternal purpose. Jesus comes into this world and teaches. Now we'll read from the book of Acts. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and he wrote the book of Luke. The former treatise I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was received up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive, after his passion by many proofs, appearing unto them by the space of 40 days, and speaking concerning the kingdom of God. Here's the space of 40 days, a record of which we have only this statement. When Christ arose from the grave and spent this 40 days with his apostles, he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Now, in verse 6, they therefore that were come together asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? Many of those people are like the Zionists of today. They thought that the kingdom was to be restored. He said to them in substance, gentlemen, you don't understand. He promised, I'll send you the Spirit, who'll be your teacher and your guide. And now he says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has set within his own authority, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Hear these men going out to preach, and what they preached was the kingdom of God. Paul stood before Agrippa and said, I stand here because of the hope of Israel. The hope of Israel was the church of the living God. And that's the hope of Israel today. Now, let's go back and take our New Testaments and follow Christ through his ministry and see what he said about the kingdom. Preceding Christ, there appeared John the Baptizer. John came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Christ came and was immersed of John in the river Jordan. After John died, had been cast into prison and was beheaded, from that time began Jesus to preach and to say. What did he say? He began to preach and to say. What did he say? He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Matthew 4:17. That's the first sermon he preached. He preached, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you have any difficulty in understanding the significance of the phrase is at hand, turn to the book of Luke, division 10 and 9. Luke says, the kingdom of heaven draws nigh. It's getting close. It's getting near. Now, the old kingdom of Israel was there. The kingdom, says Luke, draws near. In Matthew 6, when Jesus sat down upon the mount and talked to his apostles, he said, "Pray, thy kingdom come." You pray, thy kingdom come. In Matthew 10, when he sent out the 12 and the 70, he gave them authority and sent them out. Verse 7, and he said, "Go preach." He'd been preaching. "Go preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It draws nigh." In chapter 11, Jesus said in verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and men of violence take it by force." Now here's the significance of that. He's making preparation for the kingdom. But there were some men who didn't like the nature of his program. They wanted him to be an earthly king. John 6 and 15 tells us that he had to go and hide from the crowd because they were coming by force to make him a king. He didn't want to be a king on earth, but men of violence tried to force him to be an earthly king. In this connection, he says, For all the prophets and the law prophesied were until John. The law and the prophets were until John. And that terminated the realm of the prophet. God spake unto the fathers through the prophets. But he speaks unto us in these last days through his Son. The law and the prophets were until John, and the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Not till the birth of John, but to the regime of John. The law and the prophets lasted not till the beginning of the work of John, but to the end of his regime. You know when his regime ended? You turn to the book of Acts, division 10. When Peter explained to Cornelius the message that he preached, he said, "The message that I preached, beginning in Galilee after the baptism of John." The Great Commission started after the baptism of John. The law and the prophets lasted until the end of the regime of John. During the regime of John, in the shadow of the closing days of the law and the prophets, Jesus kept saying, "The kingdom is getting close. It's near. It's at hand." I turn to Matthew 12. I hear him saying, "And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast out demons?" Now, those sons were not, as you think of it, he's talking about the apostles. He wasn't talking about the average disciple. "I cast out demons, and so do the 12 and 70 that I've sent out." Doesn't have any reference to somebody other than those endowed with miraculous powers. But if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. It's right on you, brethren. It's near. It's coming. That's the way Jesus talked. He never did talk about rebuilding a temple, the Jews going back to Palestine. He never said a word about that. He said, "The kingdom of God is right on you. It's getting close." In chapter 13, he says in verse 24,
The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. And Luke tells us in Luke 8 and 11 that the seed of the kingdom is the word of God. I have the seed of the kingdom. You mean I don't have any kingdom, just have the seed? If you have the seed, you can plant the seed and produce the kingdom. That's all you need to do, just plant the seed. We have the seed of the kingdom. I never have worried about the perpetuity and continuity of congregations. Just plant seed. Down in Florida, we, I use that in a very relative sense, that is Floridians, grow some very fine watermelons. If you wanted some of them up here, you wouldn't have to grow a watermelon vine all the way to Orlando. Somebody run over it on the freeway, cut it in two. Just get some of the seed and plant it. Jesus said, you have the seed of the kingdom. In the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, all the parables are about the kingdom. You can't preach on the parables without preaching on the kingdom. And if the kingdom's not here, the parables have no application at all. He said here, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a man that sowed good seed in his field. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking goodly pearls. The parables have to do with the kingdom. And if we have no kingdom, the parables don't make sense. Why don't these preachers tell us what Jesus said about the kingdom? And I'm not being facetious. I'm in earnest about it. I'm asking my neighbor why he doesn't take his New Testament and see what Jesus said about the kingdom. In the book of Matthew, division 16, verse 19, Jesus said, Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Peter carried the keys of the kingdom. If I were to give you the keys to my car, you'd have access to it. I'm staying down at the motel. They gave me a key to it. I can get in. Peter had the keys. And if he ever turned those keys, he opened the door. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If Peter bound one thing, he did it with the keys of the kingdom. If he loosed your sins, he did it with the keys of the kingdom. To deny the existence of the kingdom of God today is to deny the loosing of the sins of man. Now, not only did he teach that they had the keys, in Matthew 21, Jesus said, I'm going to destroy Israel as a nation. Israel as a race will exist ever, as a nation never, by the power of God. He spake this parable. Verse 43, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken away from you. That's what he said about the kingdom. He said to those Jews, God is going to take the kingdom away from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth fruits thereof. My kingdom will include all peoples. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken to pieces, but he on whomsoever shall fall, it will scatter him to dust. He said the old kingdom of Israel be scattered to dust. You said, well, who's he talking about? And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. They knew what he's talking about. That's the reason they killed him. He said to them, I don't want an earthly kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world, and I'm going to destroy the last vestige of a temporal kingdom, grind it to dust. And they kill him. They'd kill him today if he talked about the kind of a kingdom the prophet saw. That's what Jesus said about the kingdom. That's what it says in every Bible. Now, not only did he say he'd take it away, you know what he said about Jerusalem? He didn't say, I'm going to rebuild it, said, I'm going to destroy it. And he spoke of the abomination of desolation. In Daniel 9, when Daniel spoke of the abomination of desolation, Jesus Christ quotes the prophecy of Daniel as he spake of the abomination of desolation and applies it to the destruction of the temple. He didn't talk about rebuilding the temple, said, I'm going to scatter it. He said there won't be one stone left upon another. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He wept over the city. I tried to get you to turn and do right. I won't leave one stone upon another. And he didn't talk about the gathering of the Jews. He talked about their scattering. He didn't say they'd be gathered. He said they'd be scattered. The abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel is explained by Jesus Christ when he said, when you see, verse 15, when therefore you see the abomination of desolation which was spoken through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand, let him that's in Judea flee unto the mountains. Get out. Don't gather. Scare. What Jesus said about the Jews, he said, get out. He didn't say come in. He said, get out. And then he said, I feel sorry for a woman that's with child. I feel sorry when this has to depart in the winter on the Sabbath day when the gates would be closed. And he spake of the destruction of Jerusalem, which came to pass in A.D. 70. Did you know the Lord Jesus Christ saw to it that the last vestige of Judaism died? And when Jesus died on the cross, even the veil of the temple was written twain from the top. It wasn't torn from the bottom. Some human hand could not have done it. The temple was destroyed. The people scattered. That's what he talked about. He didn't talk about the Jews going back to Palestine. Never even hinted it. Don't you think he understood the prophets? Don't you think that Ezra and Nehemiah knew what the prophets taught when they said every prophetic prophecy concerning the return of the Jews was fulfilled? Don't you think that Jesus knew the things concerning the kingdom? Now, not only that, he talked about the Lord's Supper. You know, the old Jewish Passover, which is a part of Zionism. He did away with it and substituted the Lord's Supper. And he said, I'm going to put the Lord's Supper in my kingdom. That's Matthew 26. I'll put my supper, the Lord's Supper, in my kingdom. 1 Corinthians 11, they had the Lord's Supper in the church. And the church and the kingdom are coextensive. He said, I don't want the Jewish Passover. I don't want the Jewish temple. I don't want an earthly kingdom. Here's a spiritual kingdom. The Lord's Supper will be placed in the church. When Jesus was crucified, left upon the cross, there came a man, Joseph of Arimathea, who was waiting for the kingdom. He's looking for the kingdom. I come into Mark, and Mark says that Jesus said, as he talked one day, he said to some of you folks listening to me,
who won't die till the kingdom comes. There are some here of them that stand by who shall no wise taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God was not established, some of those people are still alive. They'd make Methuselah look like a baby. That's what Jesus said about the kingdom. He said some of those folks won't die till the kingdom comes. They all died. The kingdom came. What did Jesus say about the kingdom? Well, I turn to the book of Luke. And I hear Luke saying in chapter 17 and 21, "Lo, the kingdom of God is within you. That is, it's a reign in the hearts of men." Not a temporal kingdom on earth. God's kingdom is here. And the Jewish people can be members of it. They don't have to be over in Palestine. I don't begrudge them an earthly home. But there's a difference between a legal and a divine right. They ought to be Christians just like we are. Regardless of your race, whether Arab, Greek, Jew, whatever race, black, white, yellow, red, ought to be in the spiritual kingdom. That will fit into any nation on earth. Jesus said that his kingdom was entered by being baptized. Nicodemus came to him by night. Jesus said, "Except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He's saying that if I'm born of the water and the Spirit, I can enter into the kingdom of God. In John, 18th chapter, the 36th verse, Jesus stood there just before he died, and he said, "Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight? It's not of this world." Now, that's what Jesus said. And I just can't understand all the confusion that exists in the world talking about the kingdom of God, and no man tells the world what Jesus said. I ask you, neighbor, don't you think he knew? Don't you think he understood? Don't you think he understood the prophets? Again, he never once talked about rebuilding the temple. He talked about destroying it. He never talked about the Jews going back to Palestine. He talked about getting out. He never talked about reigning on earth. They tried to make him a king, but he said that's not the kind of a king. Said, "My reign is in the hearts of men." Now, he said that the new birth puts you in the kingdom. When these apostles asked him, said, "Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said, "You'll know in a little while. The power will come upon you." Mark 9:1 says the kingdom will come with the power. The power came on Pentecost. The kingdom came with the power. And Peter stood up with the keys of the kingdom. And he opened the doors of the kingdom. You know how he opened the door?
They cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?"
He said to these believers in God and in Christ, "Repent ye and be baptized." Now that's John 3:5. Explain and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved, or as should be saved. When they were added to this church, that's what Jesus called the kingdom in Matthew 16. He uses two terms to describe it. One time he calls it the church. Another, the kingdom. Again, the vineyard. But he said, that's my kingdom. That's the way the Apostle Paul understood it. He said the people at Colossae were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's the way John, who wrote the book of Revelation, understood it. When John introduces some figures in the book of Revelation, he's not talking about a kingdom here on earth and a literal temporal kingdom. And the 1,000 years of Revelation 20 is not an earthly scene at all. It's a scene of the souls that were beheaded. Those that were beheaded. In Revelation 6, they were under the altar and waiting and crying, "How long, how long?" But that kingdom, John says, is the church. Revelation 1 and 6, he made us to be a kingdom. Revelation 1 and 9, John says, "I'm in the kingdom." The kingdom is here. And the so-called effort today to perpetuate the system of Judaism is opposite to everything that Jesus Christ ever said. We hear about back to Jesus. Jesus! Accept Jesus! Jesus never said a word about the Jews going back to Palestine, rebuilding a temple and a temporal, literal reign on earth. Everything he said is the exact opposite. He said that I need to be born again to enter his spiritual kingdom. And then he said, "I'll come back one day, and when I come back, I'll deliver up the kingdom to God, and I'll take you as my child to be with me in the home over there. But I go to prepare a place for you." He's not coming to prepare a place. He went to prepare a place. "I come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What a blessed hope and what a great promise. It can be yours if you'll accept it tonight.
Your speaker was G.K. Wallace.